Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious and the ever-worthy name of the Lord Jesus, giving you a hearty welcome to the continued study of the precious word, and rejoice in having this continued privilege of coming into your presence with this radio program and ministry. We continue our theme in the book of Revelation chapter 12, from whence we are considering Israel's greatest enemy, none other than Satan, who is called in our chapter the Great Red Dragon. May I read today from verse 7 through 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his precious words. And as we continue the theme of our subject, regarding the great red dragon being the enemy of Israel, and in the last day, his power being manifested against them. In our scripture we have read, which we now consider, from verses 7 through 12 in the book of the Revelation, chapter 12, we have the reason for the dragon's great wrath and his anger upon the woman, the nation of Israel. For in that coming day, there will be a specific reason added to the many others we've mentioned. He's always been angry against the woman Israel. He thought from the beginning of the human history, when God promised to bruise the serpent's head by the seed of the woman, the devil sought to destroy the woman's seed that would ultimately bring his defeat. But there is a specific reason added to all of that for his hatred and for his attempt to destroy the nation of Israel at the end time. And we have read about it. Before that event can ever take place, as we have read, there will be a war in heaven. Now this sounds very strange. War in heaven is bad enough to have war upon the earth. But may I give the suggestion? This is not, definitely not, the presence of God. This is not in the holiest of his dwelling place. But around us in the universe, there are atmospheric heavens beyond your comprehension and mine. Within those heavens, we have in the word of God revealed that Satan and all of his hosts have their dwelling places. He's called in Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air. And oh, may I say, though Satan has power, from the scriptures we learn it, he has power to draw near enough to the presence of God that he might accuse the saints. But the vastness of the heavens is beyond our comprehension. Now may I point out that one of the great purposes of God in the future, not only in relation to Israel, nor in relation to the church, or in relation to the nations of the earth, is that in that coming day of which we are now reading and studying pertaining to Israel, God declares that the heavens must be cleared, emptied of the hosts of Satan. And what we have read is that battle that will take place between the angels. There will be Satan and his angels, and there will be Michael and his angels warming together. May I point out to you as we read in verse 7, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angel. Now, beloved, let me say, this is something mystical and unable for you and for me to comprehend. But I do want to tell you this. I'm going to be watching that battle. The people upon the earth will not see it. But in the heavens above, the saints of God in heaven will be witnessing the great conflict. When the hosts of good and the hosts of evil, the hosts of holy angels and the hosts of evil angels, when led by Michael the Archangel and by Satan, the wicked one, this great conflict will rage. But the outcome is already indicated in the scriptures. For what we find, the conclusive result is this. The great dragon was cast out, and all of his names are given, the serpent, the devil, and Satan, and dragon, the one who deceiveth the whole world. Now, beloved, let me point out, please, I want you to recognize the character of Satan. He deceiveth the whole world. You know this world is certainly blinded, and blinded by the devil. If you wonder why many people and the majority of people are not willing nor desirous to listen to the Word of God, I'll tell you why. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that see not. And I will not minimize the power of Satan and his subtle, deceitful hold that he has upon the human race. My beloved, may I say gratefully, I'm glad the Lord Jesus delivered me from Satan. For our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this evil world. And we thank God for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. My beloved, let me just inject this fact. The devil desires to take men and women to hell, and he's doing a good job. My beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to take you to heaven. Oh, I trust you're concerned to be saved. For what we are reading is the most solemn event that is to bring upon the earth the worst time of trouble that ever has been known. For as we read, and note the words in verse 9. We read, the one who is the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. May I say something very solemnly? I am glad I will not be on the earth when the whole bundle of evil hosts come down. Now, I don't know how many angels there are. I do know from the scriptures they are spoken of as being myriads, multitudes in number. But, beloved, you know, I want to tell you frankly, we are told in Ephesians 6 and verse 12 that these unholy angels rule over the darkness of this world. But they do not rule on the earth, but from above the heavenly places. Paul said, we Christians wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness over this world, against wicked spirits in high or heavenly places. And may I say very frankly, it's from those heavenly places, those evil hosts, are controlling the wickedness of this world. But what will it be when they are cast from that heavenly place and down to the earth? They personally come. My beloved, you know it's bad enough right now. But I want to tell you the magnitude of wickedness is going to be greater when the devil comes to the earth with all of his angels. Oh, may I point out something? There's a twofold fact that follows that we should realize. When that takes place, though it's going to bring the greatest danger to the nation of Israel they ever faced, yet when that takes place, there's two results. One is rejoicing in heaven, and the other is woe upon the earth. Listen to these words as I read out. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Or may I say that the hosts of heaven rejoice? They rejoice because this is the threshold of the final defeat of Satan and the ultimate victory of Christ in the setting up of his eternal kingdom. And they rejoice not only in the coming kingdom and the expulsion of Satan, and oh, may I remind you, this is not the end of Satan as we shall see. But Satan's going to be ultimately in the lake of fire. First, he's got to go in the bottomless pit, then ultimately into the lake of fire. But heaven rejoices when they say, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. My beloved, as you and I realize this, oh, the important triumph that it will be in heaven. But I want to tell you, that devil, every time he sees a Christian, every time he sees a child of God misbehaving contrary to the will of God, he's ready to accuse. And he rightfully can accuse. And were it not for the one who there on the right hand of God is our advocate, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Were not for him being there, no child of God would be saved. But day and night the adversary is busy up there, but when he's cast down to the earth, Satan and all of his hosts will never get back to the heavenly. Can I repeat that? I want to repeat it for the joy that it gives my own soul to realize the victory. Satan will never get back and none of his hosts to the heavenlies again. Never. But oh, heaven rejoices. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, they go on to say. By the word of their testimony, they love not their lives unto the death. And here is a note of victory and triumph for the godly remnant in that day as they manifest their faithfulness to God. Now note the application at verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Beloved, may I say again, listen carefully, I will not be on the earth when that happens. For thank God I'm saved. And he, my Savior, will take me out of this world before that awful day. And I will be looking down from heaven when the devil's thrown out. My beloved, are you saved? May I implore you, get to Christ before it's too late for your soul. Father, bless thy words to the glory of our Savior and the blessing of all. In Jesus' name, amen.